All right, there we are. Good morning, everybody. Good to have you here in the sanctuary at Deliverance Temple Ministries. And it is good to be back on Facebook Live as well. We trust that those who are joining us by the internet will be popping on pretty soon here. They usually take just a couple of minutes of delay to get with us there, make sure that we are indeed. Good morning, Sister Kamara. Good to see you. Praise the Lord. Good to have you. We're just getting going here. Pastor Carol, good morning to you. Good to see you. Good to see you. We have here in the sanctuary, of course, Bishop and First Lady, Mother Aura's here. Sister Beth is here. The missionary is here. Praise God. So we are on top of things on this end, and we're glad to see you guys coming in as well. Just checking my little monitor here. Let me make sure I've got my sound off on it, because we don't want to hear me twice. Once is enough. But there we go. Yeah. All right. That way I can see your comments too, which I love doing. I was talking with my niece, Abrita, yesterday, and she was saying that she likes to get on when she's up and can remember, and is trying to make it to Transformation Hour online, and she enjoys me recognizing her when she comes through, you know, giving a little wave, a little hello, and I absolutely love doing that as well. So, we want to go ahead and get started this morning, this is week number three of the series that we are doing called Reflections on Transition. Reflections on Transition. And so that's what we're doing this month, is reflecting, giving some thought to the whole concept of transition. Why? Because we're in it. We're in transition. And so let me get my other little device started here. Praise God. Always like to have my backup going there just in case something goes a little sideways. And you never know with electronic devices. They're great as long as they're working well and everything's working well with them. You look up and something's gone sideways, you need a backup. So I always like to have a backup. Another reason I like a backup is because I don't know exactly what the Lord is going to say. Even though I've studied, got my notes and that kind of thing, He may have something that isn't in my notes. Very oftentimes He does have something that is not in my notes. Good morning, Sister Libby. And so therefore, I want to be able to capture that so I can hear it later, you know. This word is not just for the folks in the audience or you there on Facebook Live. This word is for me. And I need to understand what God is saying, what He's doing, where He's going, because I need to follow. Amen? And so we want to be followers of God, because, you know, that I know where I'm going. I can get there by myself stuff. How many of y'all know that does not work real well? That don't work real well at all. And we don't want to be those folks. So we've been looking at the Old Testament prophet of Malachi. Last month we were in Haggai and Zechariah. And it's way cool to look back into the Old Testament and really, really deep dive sometimes in some of these books. Not that you don't read them on a regular basis, but a lot of people don't. So sometimes this may be the only time you get to Zechariah or Malachi. So we're going to get there this morning. Good morning, Sister Amanda Darden. Good to see you. And so we had seen how that the people of God had come back from captivity and were beginning to reestablish life in Jerusalem. And I can't help but think about the fact that that's kind of what's happening with us. We've been in captivity. Pastor Carol will tell you it feels a lot like captivity, being in the house for, 17, 18 weeks, whatever it has been. Good morning, Sister Joanne. God bless you. We're praying for your daughter. We're so happy to hear of her progress, and we know God is on the case. And so we are trusting that he's going to bring her back 100%. We're on top of that, and we are in agreement with you and Deacon that God is going to do what only he can do, exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or even imagine, in Jesus' name. Amen. We're very similar in our situation right now in some respects to the folks here that we're studying in Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. They had come back out of captivity and were reestablishing things. We are reestablishing the worship here in person at Deliverance Temple. This is the third week now that we've been back and are able to be in the temple, Deliverance Temple, be in the house of the Lord physically, but there is an understanding that needs to go with that, that we are not just coming back into the same old setup as we had before. Now, if the masks on the faces of the congregation here isn't a clue, I don't know what is, that things are different now than they have been. Things are very different than they have been. And they're going to be different yet. We are in transition. That's what I want to drive home to you. Now, the thing about the folks in in Jerusalem here is that they are very much like folks today. In all the years that human beings have been on the planet, their nature has not changed a whole lot, unfortunately, perhaps. And so we have a tendency to get all excited about things when they first begin. You know, those of you who are joining us here physically in the building, you I'm sure were some of the more excited folks to get back. You're like, man, I strap on a mask, I'll do whatever, I'm going. I'm gonna be there, right? And that's awesome, that's wonderful. We love that kind of enthusiasm. God appreciates, I'm sure, that kind of enthusiasm as well, about his house and his the worship that goes on here. However, we need to watch out for good old human nature. When the people of Israel, the children of Israel, got back from captivity, they were all excited to rebuild the temple and get started in reestablishing the life of worship that they had had, to reestablish the glory of God, if you will, there in Judah. And, so they quick hurried up and laid the foundation of the temple. They high-fiving each other, man. It's cool. We're happy to be back. This is going to be awesome. And that lasted for a little while. And then the work stopped. All they had was the foundation. They didn't even get the walls up, y'all, before all of them other little human nature things started to kick in. Yeah, exactly. Good morning, Dr. Elisa. Good to see you. And so they quit working on the temple. As I've mentioned before, not for a day or a month or 16 years. Weeds growing up, the whole nine. And the word of the Lord comes through Haggai and also then through Zechariah, telling them, get to work. Get back on your assignment. Okay, I just heard the Holy Spirit there. That's a word right there. Get back on your assignment. Whether you listen to me right here in this auditorium or whether you are listening to the words coming out of my mouth over Facebook Live, the Lord says, get back on your assignment. Deliverance Temple, get back on your assignment. Don't let all the stuff and the noise and the distractions dissuade you from doing what I have called you to do and being who I have called you to be. Listen, we're good at finding excuses. Some of us, it doesn't take much of an excuse for us to stop. We quit at the first sign of trouble. Some of us got some, spiritual ADD, First little distraction. Oh, what? Oh, huh? We gone. We off track. Chasing squirrels, rabbits, and anything else out there. The Lord says it's time for you to get back on your assignment. I haven't changed my mind about you. I haven't changed my mind about what I've called you to do and who I've called you to be. Good morning, Sister Renee. And so I want us to get that. We have, as Paul has told us in the New Testament, he says the Old Testament is given to you as an example. In some cases, we see that Old Testament stories and characters and events that are recorded there are for our example about what to do. Other times, though, the examples are about what not to do. Don't do this. This is what happens when you do that. And so we find here a little bit of both of those in these prophetic books of Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. And Malachi is where we're at today as we are working our way through the topic of reflections on transition. As I said earlier, we're talking about transition because we're in it. And transition is one of those kind of situations that, sometimes you wish that it would just happen like that, that it would just be like overnight and it's done, we're there, we've arrived. But more often than not, transition is slower than we'd like. It's a process. But you do well to understand that you're in it and God is in it with you. Come on now. God is in it with you. That's good. Hallelujah. I'm glad that's confirmation for you, Dr. Elisa. God is in the transition and the transformation with you. Because, as I say, he hasn't changed his mind about your assignment, and it's time for you to get back on it. So, people of God decided then, okay, here comes the word of the Lord from Haggai, Zechariah, we're going to build this thing. And they got back to work on the temple, and they built the temple. And they began to worship God, they began to have regular services at the temple, they began to resume the sacrifices that were mandated under the law. They were doing what they were supposed to be doing. Things were good. Things had turned around. Because as Haggai warned them and explained to them, you out here working, and yet you ain't got nothing. Yeah, I said it like that. You ain't got nothing. How come that is?
I don't know.
He said, it's like you putting money in a bag with holes in it. So he said, here's the prescription. I need you to consider your ways. I need you to look at what you're doing. I need to look at you to look at what you're doing in comparison with what God has called you to do. I need you even to look at who you're being in comparison to who God has actually called you to be.
Amen.
Oh, yeah. I said, well, who is that, Brother Markle? Who is I supposed to be? I think you know, but if you don't, spend a little time in the presence of the Father. He'd be glad to explain it to you. Holy Spirit will lay out for you who you are in Christ. That's who you're supposed to be showing up as out here.
Amen. Amen.
And so when you are showing up as the person you are intended to be and doing that which is assigned to you to do, the power of Almighty God will make the thing go. The very oftentimes quoted scripture, some of y'all say, where is that? Yeah, we found a couple of scriptures that are familiar to us as we look at these Old Testament books. Maybe you didn't know that they were there. Zechariah 4:10, not by power, not by might, but what? By my spirit, says the Lord. That's how this thing is going to happen. But I need you to get back on your assignment. I need you to realize you're in transition. You had a little delay. You had, you got, as my wife said, you got knocked off your square. You got to reset, Pastor Carol says. Hit the reset button. Get back on your assignment. Get back on what God has told you to do. Refocus and reset. So the people of God did good for a while. Things were going good. That man, they're like, okay, we hear you, Zechariah. We hear you, Haggai. We hear the Lord speaking through you. Amen. They got to work. They rebuilt the temple. They resumed the services. Things were going well. God was blessing. And then a little something called old human nature start kick up again. And here's where we have Malachi coming along some years later. And they are once again falling off. They have once again begin to slack. They have once again began to shortcut things. Y'all don't know nothing about shortcuts. See, I told you before that, you know, we tend to want to get there in a hurry. We tend to want to rush the process sometimes. We just want to be through all of this. See, we're dealing right now with record-breaking infection rates of COVID-19 in large part because we're impatient, yeah. We want to just get there. We want to just, I'm done with it. I'm done with this. Well, it's not done with you. The process is not completed. I wish it was over too. We all wish it was over. And I know it's going to be over, but while we're in transition, remember your assignment. While you're in transition, remember who you are. While you're in transition, remember that it is not by power, not by might, not by medical science and smart people and government leaders, but it's by my spirit, says the Lord. Now that might be news to somebody. I hope not. I hope that's not news to you, but if it is, praise God. If not, it's a reminder. I said this is a reflection on transition. We're thinking about it. To reflect on something is to think about it. As Haggai said, consider your ways. You need to think about this thing and not rely on your natural faculties alone. I say alone because, you know, it's not like God wants you to just check your brain at the door when you come to church. That's not, no. He wants all of you involved and engaged. But guess what? This is what you need to understand about your brain. This is what you need to understand about your soul. This is what you need to understand about your body. Ain't none of them in charge. That's the thing you need to remember. That's the thing you got to remember. I'm not like divorcing myself of my mind or of my body. I'm bringing it all. Paul says, present your whole self as a living sacrifice to God, holy and acceptable. It's your reasonable service. It's what you're designed to do. It's who you're designed to be. And when we forget that, when we get distracted, then we get off track of our assignment, and we even get off track of our identity. We're like the guy James talks about who's looking in the mirror. Yeah, okay, got all right. And as soon as he walks away, forgets what he looks like. Wow. Worse yet, begins to act like somebody else. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. Okay. He said reflection. Reflection is thinking. Reflection is also what you see in a mirror. Oh, I'm going to work with this for a minute. Reflection is what you see in a mirror. Now, I look in the mirror, and I see this handsome fellow there. Hey, if I don't say it, who's going to? So, praise God. Yeah, Sister Nina loved me. And if I walk away from the mirror,
come on, sir. Come on.
But I hold that reflection in mind, I know who I am. I know what I look like. I know what I'm here to do. Then the Spirit of God is upon me to do that thing. I'm in alignment and in agreement. Oh, I'm preaching better than somebody is getting this right now. You have to watch the replay. Maybe you'll catch it on the second time around. But I want to tell you this morning that much of our issue, and this is true of the people of God in the Old Testament all the way back as far as you want to go, really. Over and over and over we see this thing. They'd get away from the mirror and forget who they are. The reflection that they should have carried in their heart was replaced by what they were seeing out here. This became the reflection. They begin to reflect what they were looking at. My God, today, somebody needs to hear this. They begin to reflect what they were focusing on out there. Oh, God. Lord, have mercy. Oh. Thank you, Dr. Marshall. She says she's getting it. It became the case that they would do what they were supposed to be doing for a minute, and then they get to looking around. Well, it looked like they got it good over there. Well, it looked like, well, they don't go to church every week, and they still all right. Well, they began to adjust the assignment just a little bit. Uh-huh. That's how you start work on the temple. You lay the foundation, and then you end up 16 years before you get back to work on it. You got distracted. That's more than distracted. You just quit. You just dropped out. But there are consequences for being out of alignment. Oh, my God. I'm telling you, I'm having a hard time just getting to the scripture today because the Holy Spirit is just downloading. Some of you have had cars that were out of alignment. Know how it's out of alignment if you let go of the wheel for just a second. It's like, oh my goodness. What's wrong with this thing? It's out of alignment. And it takes extra effort, extra energy just to keep it doing what it's supposed to be doing. Oh, somebody hearing this now. See, when you're out of alignment, everything's harder. When you're out of alignment, everything takes more effort. Because what should be happening by itself automatically is not, and you're having to course correct and adjust, trying to keep things on track. Get to where you're going and you're tired. You just drove across town. Whew, man. Amen. Amen. But when you get that car aligned, rolling down the highway, let me see how this works. Hallelujah. Praise you. Hey, thank you, Lord. I'm still right in my lane. Glory. Do that one finger drive and you're like, hey, yeah. It's just that easy because I'm in alignment again. I don't know who that was for. Maybe me, but I'll take it. God is calling us to reflect on this transition. See where you're at. Check yourself before you wreck yourself. Make sure that you're in the will of God. Make sure that you are aligned with his purpose for you. Make sure that you are aligned with who you are in him. Maybe you need to go and find all those in him, in Christ scriptures in the New Testament and say, oh, that's me. That's me right there. Yeah, that's me. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. Oh, yeah, that's me. Remind yourself, or find out for the first time, who you are, what he's called you to do, who he's called you to be, and get back on your assignment. Get back on the work that he has called you to do. So we find that the people of God here in Malachi, man, they done got off track again. Now this time it's a little differently. It's a little more subtle. Lord have mercy. I hear you, Holy Ghost. This time it's a little more subtle. See, back in Haggai and Zechariah's situation, they just quit. They quit. They're walking by the temple or by the temple site, the construction site. Y'all ever seen a building in partial construction and then look like the developer ran out of money or something? Because you're like, man, 2 years later, it's like, it still looked the same way it been. Are they going to build this thing or not? You know, something had gone down, see, and you say, oh, I heard that the developer went bankrupt. That, I don't know if they're going to ever finish that building. They just quit. This was the situation with the people of God here in Haggai and Zechariah's situation. They had just quit. But over in Malachi, it's a little more subtle than that. They still going to church. They still offering sacrifices. Oh, but what kind of sacrifices are they offering? They going through the animals, get the sick ones, get the blind ones, get the lame ones. Keep the good ones over here for me. We'll take these to the temple. Listen, my God, today, how much sense does it make? This is a rhetorical question. The answer is none. I'm going to tell you up ahead of time, right? So you don't get confused. How much sense does it make? Get up, take a shower, get all dressed, ready to go, get your iron your shirt, hate ironing. I detest ironing. Do you hear me? Iron your shirt. Get yourself ready to go. Drive across town. Come up in here. And then give God some worship like sick animal, lame animal, blind animal. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Man, it's just 10:35. Golly, man, look like it's been here for 2 hours already. Praise God. When is this going to be over? Jesus, hallelujah, praise God. Okay, we're done. This is what they were doing. This is what they were doing. And the whole thing was falling apart because people weren't doing what they were assigned to do. They weren't doing what God had called them to do. Oh, they're going through the motions. Come on now. See, there are a lot of folks going through the motions. They look like they're doing, you know, say, have you ever seen, I don't know if you've ever seen this picture, this meme out there on the internet. It's got a man in a hole. He's in a hole. And there's a guy at the top of the hole, and he's reaching his arm down to him. And he can't reach him. Now, what you can see that the guy in the hole can't see is that the guy at the top of the hole has a 12-foot ladder here just out of sight. See, the moral of the story here is that he only appears to be helping him. He only appears to be trying to help him. If he really wanted to help him, he'd drop that ladder down in there and be boom. See, sometimes we appear like we're worshiping God. We appear like we're doing what God says. We appear like we're obeying God. I don't get myself excited here. We're going through the motions. We look good. We smell good. But something rotten about the thing. And there are consequences. There are ramifications and repercussions. Yeah, throw out a couple of them 10-cent words. When you do not do what you're called to do, when you're off assignment, when you are in transition, but you're drifting. You're out of alignment. You're drifting off to the side of the road. I hope this is making sense to somebody. Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. Good to see you, Brother Larry. So I want you to understand that God does not want us to be in the same situation as these folks. When they began to, and in fact, he began to rebuke them because of it. We were in, I think, just chapter one. Yes, Lord have mercy. There are only four chapters still, though. We on week three. I got to finish next week. We got boom, boom, boom. But he starts off in chapter one. I'm going to go through this part fast, right? Y'all can read it. Malachi, it's right in between. It's the last book of the Old Testament, right before you get to Matthew in the New Testament. That one right there, just four chapters. He starts off, though, by telling them that he loves them. In fact, Malachi, which means my messenger, we start off in verse number one, and he says, the oracle of the word of the Lord to Israel through Malachi. The word oracle used throughout the Old Testament a number of times here is the word masah, and it means a burden. This thing that God had put on Malachi's heart to tell the people was a burdenous job, a burdensome job. You know, sometimes you had to tell somebody some news you know they ain't trying to hear. But you're the guy with the assignment to tell them, it's kind of burdensome. You're like, Lord, here we go. I don't know how they're going to receive this. Don't worry about how they're going to receive it. You do what I told you to do. And so he says, let me soften it up for you, though, Malachi. The very first thing he has Malachi tell them in verse number 2 is, I have loved you. I have loved you. Now, you know, when you're wrong and you know you're wrong, I don't know who I'm talking to, probably none of y'all, but maybe this is me. When you're wrong and you know you're wrong, you immediately go on the defensive.
Absolutely.
You love us. What? How did you? What? They begin to question God. Can I tell you, number one, be careful when you are questioning God that you really want to know the answer. I just have to turn and walk away for a minute. Be careful when you're asking God a question that you really want to know the answer. They say, well, how have you loved us? He began to break it down for them. Oh, like that. Oh, well, yeah, okay. You're on the defensive. He worked it out for them. He told them, here's the deal. And then he goes on in verse 6 to tell them, a son honors his father and a servant his master. Then if I'm a father, where's my honor? If I'm the master, where's my respect? The priest despised my name. Listen. I'm not going to blame these priests completely because they had some help. I told you, the worshipers, I use that term loosely here, the worshipers bringing all kinds of sick animals, bringing the leftovers, half doing their worship. And in a very practical sense, the worship, the tithe, the offerings, what have you, were for the upkeep of the temple and the temple worship and the priests themselves. As I said, you know, you got to go to work every Sabbath and do the sacrifices and you ain't getting paid, you know, you might cop an attitude after a minute. You're like, why am I even bothering to do this? I know I'm not talking to anybody here, but sometimes we let ourselves get there too. Lord, I've served you. I've done everything you ask of me, God.
And some.
Uh-huh. Yeah, we're going to add that in. First lady said, and some. And yet, Lord, it don't seem like things are going. Don't seem like, I don't even know why I bother sometimes, Lord. Ooh, okay. You sure you want to go there? You sure about that? I mean, you might want to rethink that one just real quick for a minute. You might want to think about that. Good morning, Sister LaWanda. Good to see you. And so they bring in all kinds of mess. And this one jumped off to me. This is chapter 1, verse 7. He says, but you say, how have we defiled you? In that you say the table of the Lord is to be despised. Oh, my God. I had to flash forward to the table of the Lord. In the New Testament, we think about the Lord's table. We think about communion. We think about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. We think about his body. And to despise that, what a horrible thing. What a horrible place in which to be. Better for you that you just stayed home. Paul says some of you are dead because you have despised the table of the Lord. Human nature, I told you, it repeats. Here they were doing it already over in the Old Testament with Malachi. And God had to send a word to them. He said, you wouldn't do this, you know, to the governor. You wouldn't have him here and eating this mess that you offering to me. There is a certain, listen, I try not to be like a perfectionist or that kind of thing, although sometimes, help, Lord. But there is and should be a spirit of excellence about what you do.
Amen.
Oh, man, I'm preaching to me today. There should be a spirit of excellence about what you do. You may not be the best, but you can do your best.
Amen.
Don't half step it and then say it was your best, though. Because God knows. And there are consequences. Listen, there are consequences. Not because he's sitting up there, I'm going to get you, sucker. No. He already told you in the second verse right here, I love you. Everything I'm getting ready to tell you in these next four chapters is because I love you. I want you to be in alignment. I want you to be in agreement. I want you to be blessed. I want you to see the benefits of serving me in excellence. I've laid out the roadmap for you. You don't have to try to figure everything out. I will take you by the hand and walk you through step by step. But if you refuse, there are consequences. Now that's just plain. Listen, if you tell little Johnny, don't touch this stove, it's hot. Stay back from the stove. And little Johnny said, you can't tell me nothing. You've been listening to little Nas X, man. He think, you can't tell me nothing. And the first chance he get, he run over there and lay his hand up on that stove. Now listen, when little Johnny gets burned, starts screaming and hollering, who's not to blame is that parent that told him, don't do this. You can't blame the parent. See, I hope this is making sense to somebody. We love to blame God when we're doing the wrong. We love to blame God when he has told us, go this way. This is good for you. But we go the other way. And then we reap the consequences of that. And then we try to say, you did this to me, God. Please. You did it to yourself. I love you. So, that's right, Dr. Marshall. We don't want to be those with a form of godliness only. Caught up in the rituals and ain't half doing them right. Half stepping. Lord, have mercy. So the Lord said, don't, you know, look, it'd be better that you just shut the gates, close the doors, don't even let nobody up in here if this is how you're going to do this. Again! That may sound harsh, but again, think about what he told them right out the gate. I love you. And so here are the consequences when you're doing things stupidly, half-stepping, or even just flat out, you know, defrauding me. I tell you to bring the best animal and you bring in the sickest one you got. There are consequences for that. And he says, it would be better for you to lock the doors and not even have service than to come in here, do this half-stepping off stuff that's going to garner you a reward you don't want and I'm trying to save you from. Can you see the love there now? It's not him ready to smack you Every time you get out of line, it's him correcting you. It's him leading you in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake, leading you in the paths of how it should be. Because he loves you. Yes, ma'am, Chris. Because he loves you. And so he's trying to bring correction. While you're in transition, there may be some correction. But understand, it's not because he hates you. It's not because he's mad at you. It's because he loves you. Oh, it's quiet in here. I know y'all can't say nothing out there, but I thought I might get an amen here in the room. He loves you. First lady says she's listening. That's why she's quiet. Amen. Okay. We need correction from time to time. And when we've been out of sorts, like we have been for so long with COVID-19, and we began to come back, the Lord wants us to understand, here's your assignment. Here's what I need you to do. And you're going to do it not by power, not by might, but by my spirit. It won't be because you're so smart. We got some smart people. We got some smart people here. But it won't be because of your smartness. We got some talented people here. But it won't be because of your talent. It will be because you are yielded to the Spirit of God as he is directing you in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Don't get me started. His name's sake. Well, what's your name, Lord? I'm Jehovah Jireh. I'm Jehovah Nisi. I'm Jehovah Shalom. I'm Jehovah Makadesh. I'm Jehovah Tsidkenu. I'm Jehovah Shammah. I'm Jehovah Rapha. I'm Jehovah Rohi. Hallelujah. Boy, I feel the power of God all over me right there. Just saying his name. He's the God of provision. He's the God of healing. He's the God of salvation. He's the God of sanctification. He's the God who's always there. He's the Lord, your shepherd. He's the Lord, your victory. Job said, acquaint thyself with him and be at peace. Get to know the Lord all over again. Get to let him tell you, this is your assignment. Let's get back on the wall. Let's get back on the job. You're in transition. It won't be what it was. It won't be like it was. But I'm going to be with you. Here's two consistent things, even in transition. Get this if you don't get anything else I've said today. There are two consistent things in transition for the child of God. While everything else is unstable and crazy all around you, there are two consistent things. Number one, God loves you. Number two, God is with you. That's all you need right there.
All right.
Because listen, you ain't going to get everybody to make sense. Not going to happen. As I left the house this morning, my wife was listening to an interview with the President of the United States. And like I said, everything ain't going to make sense. But God loves me and God is with me. I'm going to hang on to that. God loves me. God is with me. I may have to put it on my bathroom mirror. God loves me. God is with me.
Amen.
He will take you through this transition successfully.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
The best thing you could do when God shows you who you have been, how you've been, and it ain't pretty necessarily, like as in the case here with the people of God in Malachi. The best thing you can do is drop your defensive attitude right away. Like I said, you don't want to ask God questions that you don't really want the answer to. Because he'll tell you. If anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. But watch out, because he's going to tell you. He's going to tell you. You may not like what you hear, but he's going to tell you. And your response needs to be, yes, Lord. Amen. You're right. I know you love me. I know you're with me. They're trying to defend themselves. So he had to bring discipline. Let me say real quick again. Discipline. Discipline. Not I'm going to kill you. Discipline. Instruction. Correction. Your child do wrong, you don't, you know, I'm going to break your arm. You might say that. I hope you don't, but you're not really going to, hopefully you're not going to break his arm. What you want to do, though, is correct that child. You want to guide them back into what's best for them. This is what God does with us. Now, you can fool around, snatch away if you want to, fall down the stairs. Now your arm is broke. But I didn't do it. Of course, that'd be tough explaining at the hospital. But anyway, I want you to get this. There will be some discipline sometimes. There'll be a rebuke sometimes. And it can be hard. It can be hard. But the best thing you can do is humble yourself under the mighty hand of God so that he can exalt you, because that's what he's trying to do. We're built for ascension. We're designed to go up. We're designed for expansion, for better. That's what he wants for us. And anything and everything that he's doing for you, including rebuke, including discipline, is for that purpose. Don't get all mad, grab your marbles and go home. Let me say this real quick. I'm about out of time. Let me say this real quick. You say, okay, I'm good with God, but Pataloonie, I can't stand her. That's why I ain't going to church no more. First of all, let me say that you probably got a few people who feel that way about you as well. Because if you got that kind of an attitude, I'm sure it's stinking off on somebody else too. They're like, Jimmy ain't been to church in 3 weeks. I know, girl. Praise Jesus. Oh, I'm sorry. I meant, yeah, we're going to pray for him. That's, yeah. He's probably going through something of his own. Yeah, amen. I'm telling you, even if what's happening, what you don't like, what's rubbing you wrong, is from one of your brothers and sisters, get with God and let him work you through that transition too. Because he loves both of you. He has a plan for both of you. He has a plan for all of us here at Deliverance Temple Ministries.
Amen.
Plus, this ain't, I ain't got scripture for this. I ain't got no scripture for this. This is like Mama 101, you know, okay. Ain't no one monkey stopped the show. Okay. I drop that and keep moving. That is not in the scripture. Don't look for that. Monkey, stop the what? Is that in? No, that's not in Malachi. But it's good. It's good to know. The plan of God. You want scripture? Let me back it up and do it nice and do it with scripture. The purpose and plan of the Lord will prevail, we're told in Proverbs. Amen. Okay, there you go now. That is in the Bible. He going to do what he going to do. His purpose will prevail. He's sovereign. He's got a plan, and he intends to work it out. Now, whether you decide to ride the train or not is up to you. You can be left at the station. I don't want that for you, and he doesn't want that for you. But I'm telling you, Deliverance Temple, particularly now, 10:01, I got to quit. I'm telling you, particularly now, as you look around, if you were here, you'd look around, you see a lot of empty chairs, of course, handful of people, and we're social distancing, and we got masks on and all that kind of thing that we need to do. Number one, this too shall pass, so don't get fixated on this.
Amen.
Don't get stuck here.
Number
two, in this time of transition, God is speaking. Hear what he's saying. Some of it may be harsh to your ears. Some of it pleasant, but God is speaking. And all of it is because he loves you and he's here for you. Get that today. Now listen, next week, we're going to finish up. I do want to... Woo, Lord, I do want to at least hit a couple of these last couple of chapters in Malachi 3. And we're going to talk about some things. We've been talking, you know, pretty straightforwardly anyway. But in order to transition, In order to transition successfully, we're going to need to do it God's way. I said, in order to transition successfully, God loves us. He wants the best for us. He has a plan. Yes, for us, Deliverance Temple. Yes, for you individually. He has a plan. But in order to transition successfully, you're going to have to do it his way. Don't get caught up in what other people are doing. There's a lot right now going on in our world. There's a lot in which we can get caught up. The Bible warns us, I hear the scripture, don't let your good be evil spoken of. Some of us jumping on every bandwagon. We're digging out our old Public Enemy cassettes and Fight the Power. Yeah, I'm playing, y'all. Cassette, y'all got that right? Okay. But it ain't 1989. It's 2020. And God has a plan and a purpose. He has a way. So be careful about jumping on every bandwagon coming down the pike. Stay with what God is telling you and who he's telling you you are. Be that. Otherwise, you can go through a lot of hell and not be any better off on the other end of it. I don't know who that's for. Maybe that's for one of y'all out there. I don't know. Good morning, Sister Darling. Good to see you. We don't want to be those folks that have been through 17 kinds of hell over 17 years and still no better off for it. We have a message. We have the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have the good news. We are light bearers. But there's a way to do this thing, and there's a way not to. And God will send individually and as a body, correction. Not to beat us down, not to destroy us, but to get us back in alignment so we can get to where we're going successfully. Does that make sense?
Yep. Yeah.
Well, all right then. In the words of Micah, another Old Testament prophet, chapter 6, verse 8, just keep it simple, keep it moving. Do justice, love mercy, walk humbly with your God. And that'll take care of a whole bunch of problems if you just do that. Amen? All right, I gotta go. I love you guys. I will see you next week. We finish up reflections on transition. Amen? God bless. Bye-bye.